Hi folks. Hi, good afternoon everybody. Good to be here, good to be out and about again. Good to be doing something live instead of these Zoom meetings. They're good, but this is better. You get the atmosphere. Today, I don't know if you're aware, today, being Thursday, it marks 6 years since the first independence referendum. 6 years. Notice I say it marks it. I'm not celebrating it. I don't think anybody's celebrating 6 years. That's 6 years has been totally wasted, as far as I'm concerned. 6 years of missed opportunities. A lot of things have changed in that 6 years. But the independence movement has not moved one millimetre forward. Not one millimetre. That is unfortunate. We sure as hell can't afford for it to be another 6 years. Things have got to change, and they've got to change soon. Some things have changed in the past 6 years, have changed. I've lost the weight of a well-fed child, they tell me. I can get out and walk because I'm feeling great. I was sick carrying that well-fed child around with me. It's been good. Lockdown's been good as far as I'm concerned. But I lost the weight. I was determined. Folk asked me if it was difficult. I said, it's no more difficult than doing origami with Raivita. It's dead easy, dead easy. Kenny McCaskill was talking about change just today. His column on Wings Over Scotland. Kenny's been speaking out quite a bit lately. And I have to say, it's really good to have a voice of dissent within the party. A well-known voice, a well-respected voice. At last, those of us who are getting a bit impatient and a bit frustrated with all the delay and all the postponements and all the procrastination, now we have somebody speaking for us and somebody who may be listened to. Kenny was talking about change. Obviously, I had something to say about it as well. Have I got something to say about it? He asked the question, will Westminster change? It was a rhetorical question, obviously. He immediately answered that very politely, a lot more politely than most of us would. But then he's a politician. I actually would have liked to have read out the whole of the article that I wrote in response to that, because I think it was, though I say it myself, it was probably worth knowing about. So check out the blog, I Have Questions. But I'm just going to read, it would have taken too long to read the whole thing, because once I start writing I can't stop. But I'll read out the last few paragraphs, because I think it says something important. The Section 30 process means that Nicola Sturgeon is damned if she does and damned if she doesn't. If she signs on Boris's terms, she will be burned in effigy in the streets of every town and village in Scotland, and the referendum will be unwinnable by the Yes side. If Boris Johnson grants a Section 30 order, he will ensure that the referendum is unwinnable by the Yes side. If Nicola Sturgeon refuses to sign, either the referendum doesn't happen at all, see burning effigies as I was talking about, or it goes ahead in a way that Nicola Sturgeon herself has implicitly declared illegal and unconstitutional, which would then justify Boris Johnson's resort to brute power. How that brute power might be made manifest is something I prefer to leave to your imagination. but it will probably be worse than you think. Westminster may change, but if it does, it will be the worst for Scotland. Remember, English votes for English laws? That's how Westminster changes. It gets worse for Scotland. Boris Johnson may change, but if he does, it will be the worst for Scotland. If it wasn't the internal market bill allowing England as Britain to impose on Scotland laws that cannot be voted on by Scotland's democratically elected representatives, not that it would make any difference, it would be some other piece of legislation, perhaps more devious and more draconian. He will get his way, no matter what. Nicola Sturgeon may not change. If she doesn't, it will be the worst for Scotland. She may remain wedded to the Section 30 process for reasons it would be interesting to explore at another time that are basically incomprehensible. She may adhere to the Section 30 dogma, despite the fact that, like Boris, she has options. Options which maybe aren't guaranteed to make things better for Scotland, but which certainly couldn't make our predicament any worse. I urge Kenny McCaskill to keep up the pressure on Nicola Sturgeon to adopt a new approach to the constitutional issue and to embrace a manifesto for independence. I urge, I beg, I implore everybody in the Yes movement to add their voices to his. No Section 30. No Section 30.
I'd like to introduce Mohammed Asif from the Afghan Human Rights Movement. Welcome, Mohammed.
Thank you, brothers and sisters. It's a great day for me and a great day for Scotland and the Scots that we gather here. Let me tell you, there's a subject, because I went to a university, a subject called Ethics in Journalism. And that subject teaches you how to be fair and how to be just. But today we are standing in front of the BBC, which is a propaganda machine for the British state, I have a lot of friends working here, and probably, hopefully, they can hear me, that this is a propaganda machine, which I came from Afghanistan, when the war criminal Tony Blair and Bush, they were saying that we have to change the regime in Afghanistan and Iraq, because it is the wishes of the people. So it's again here, it's the wishes of 54% or 55% right now, that the Scots want to part company with a very abusive marriage, with a very unjust and biased marriage. So this is our democratic rights, that we should decide for our future generations, we should decide for our children, we should decide that what we have and what we don't have. Brothers and sisters, in this city, I remember in 2003, nearly 500,000 of people, the Scots, were marching from Glasgow Green to SECCC against the illegal war in Iraq. Again, you know, the wishes of this country were ignored. And today, again, the wishes of this country, the citizens of this great state, is ignored. This is our opportunity, no matter what the Tories, what the warmongers, what the imperialists said. We should teach our children. You know, people fought for independence, like in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Libya, in Syria, and so many other parts. We're not going to be, you know, launching illegal wars, but in this country, this is our democratic rights. This is our rights. Imagine 54%. And I remember when in 2014, when there was an independence referendum, it was this organization, together with many billionaire and millionaire, were telling us, telling you, telling our pensioners, that if Scotland part companies, we will be bankrupt. As though, you know, Scotland is some third world country. You know, this country is full of scientists. This country is full of great schools, universities, institutions. And I'm sure Scotland will be much, much far, far better than its neighbors and maybe in many countries in Europe. Brothers and sisters, my appeal to you is, no matter what your background is, what your association is, what your political affiliation is, we should come together to fight peacefully this imperialist power and their imperialist propaganda machines that the Scots need to end this abusive marriage. Because this abusive marriage is taking our democratic rights. Brothers and sisters, I live in this city, in this country which welcomed me, and I am very proud to be a Scot from Afghanistan. And this city has welcomed so many refugees, nearly 12,000 refugees from Afghanistan, from Syria, from Libya, from so many countries. And it is this imperialist institution, and it is the Tories and Johnson and their Labour friends which is creating the hostile environment, blaming migrants for the collapse of the economy, blaming the pensioners, blaming asylum seekers and the black community for the recession in this country. If I tell you it's the rich and the filthy in this country, when I say this country, I mean Britain, the imperialist country, which collapsed the economy. It is the bankers which steals your money, which steals my money. It is the rich who does not pay their fair share. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you this. You know, Scotland is a very rich country. Scotland can do so many great things as you are doing it every day. You know, we were told that we will be hungry. We were told that we will be homeless. We were told that we will have no jobs. But I'm sure this country will stand on its feet, and this country will be one of the most welcoming country, no matter where you come from, what your background is, and you will be welcome in this country. Let's not lose this opportunity. You know, they say it is a once in a life an opportunity. No, because if we believe in democracy, you know, the people of this country speaks. And right now, the people of this country, there is 54% to 55%. They know that we can do better for Scotland. We can do better for our future generation. We can do better for our children and the generation to come. So I would like to say thank you to every one and each of you. Don't listen to the few mosquitoes at the background. You know, they can, you know, it is like when you go to Loch Lomond and it's after 7 o'clock when these midges come and they sit in your hair and they try to, you know, disturb your hair. So do not be, you know, disheartened. You know, let the mosquitoes bite, no matter how much they bite. But we have the cure, and the cure is the Scottish independence, and that independence is sooner to come. Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you. God bless.
That used to be my own people when they come off stage. Now I'd like to introduce Charlotte Ahmed, anti-racist speaker, teacher, AUOB member, just what all you. This is Charlotte.
Thank you everyone for coming here today. I know it's a difficult situation. There's thousands of people are still feeling vulnerable, frightened about coming out and demonstrating. So well done to you. As long as we all keep with the requirements of distancing and masks, we'll be fine. Because there's no way that we are going to let this situation go by without reminding people, the British government, the Scottish government, or the BBC, that we have not gone away. And we are stronger now than we have ever been for this movement. And there's a simple reason why we are getting stronger. COVID has exposed the inequalities and the injustices of this capitalist system like nothing else. I mean, I've been going on about it for decades. I see some faces here. We've been talking about the effect capitalism has on working people. And now everyone knows that's true. How are we going to make a society that's better than that? Rely on the Tories and Boris Johnson? I do not think so. They are a party of billionaires for the billionaires. Even as we are standing here, millionaires are making more money out of COVID than you and I will earn in a lifetime. There are people in this city dying. Think of Mercy Baguma. Died next to her baby son in governing this city. The shame of this country is how they treat people who want to come here and live and work. Shame on you, the Tories, and any other party that supports them. We welcome refugees here. If you want to live and work in Scotland, you are a Scot. That's what we stand for, but we're not in charge. Nutters like the ones next to us. Do you know, a few years ago, I was out here a demonstration against the BBC. It's about the third or fourth one. On that occasion, they invited a fascist, a full-blown fascist, to speak on Question Time. That's why we were protesting here then. And now they're doing it again. Who was Nigel Farage without the BBC? He's been elected to nothing. He's a racist and a bigot, and he gets on the BBC anytime he phones up. Shame on the BBC. And the voice of the people, people like us, is not heard. We're going to change that, but to change it, we have to have a change at the top. Do you know what? If the state of Barbados can announce that they no longer want to have the Queen as the head of state, why can't Scotland? Why can't we? The democratic will of the people, how many times have we got to show it? How many times do we have to vote? This is a democratic deficit as well as a moral one. So when COVID allows, and who knows where that will be, look at this incompetent government. Doesn't give a damn about working people. Go back to work, and then they blame you when there's a COVID outbreak at work. I'm a teacher. You cannot socially distance in a big school. It's not rocket science to understand that. Teachers and pupils have been fantastic. Social distancing, wearing masks, looking after each other. But then they get blamed when there's a COVID outbreak, just as young people get blamed for it too. Anyone but the government. Look at the testing regime. If we could all get a test, we'd be quite confident going back to work. But you can't, not for love nor money. Why? This is a rich country. In Scotland, we could organise that better. We could do that for ourselves. A nationalised system of health and provision of social care. That's one of the demands we should have of a Scottish government. But we can't do that under this system. So we have to double our efforts, double our arguments. We want to argue on the environment. We want to argue on health, on housing, on minimum standards that you have a right to and your children have a right to. Decent food and decent housing, decent education, quality of life and a future. The system that exists now does not that guarantee, doesn't guarantee it for you and your children. How are we going to win it? I don't think the only thing we can do is persuade Nicola Sturgeon. I think we have to do more than that. I think we have to take to the streets when it's possible to do so, in hundreds of thousands, bigger than we've done before. I think we have to call on the trade union movement to mobilise and express the wishes of most of their members that we want change at the top. They will not give it to us. Boris Johnson's been up here twice. I think Keir Starmer's coming up here too. We want to have our voices heard. We want Scottish independence. We want a referendum. We want to bring all the strands of the movement that have expressed a desire for independence to come together, to unite all under that banner and show now is the time, if not now, when? Thank you, folks.
A man who needs no introduction, Tommy Sheridan himself, about to give you some of his knowledge. There you go.
Thanks very much. Brothers and sisters, there's already been a lot of common sense spoken here today. Common sense is something that you don't get when you watch Parliament Live, as I did yesterday. Watched Angus McNeil have Boris Johnson like a wriggling fish on a hook when he put to him absolutely categorically and clearly, Johnson, will you allow the Scots to express the democratic opinion in a referendum given the number of opinion polls and elections which have shown without contradiction, have shown in the last 6 years that Scotland is now for independence. There is absolutely no doubt about that. And Johnson, as he does regularly, he bumbled and he rambled and he ignored the question and then said, it's a once in a generation, once in a generation. Brothers and sisters, regardless of the waffle that that man speaks, we should be clear about this argument of once in a generation. Some people ask, what is a generation? Go and look at the 1998 Northern Ireland Act, and you will see it in black and white what a generation is, because it says in black and white, after a poll for the unification of Ireland, if it is defeated, there shall not be another poll for a generation of 7 years. 7 years. It's there in black and white. We have now an unprecedented situation. Despite the ravages of this horrible virus, which has led to chaos in people's lives, led to much illness and sickness and uncertainty, despite all of that, one thing has remained constant, and that is the incapacity, inability of the Tory government to lead us forward in the face of this crisis. They are too busy handing out contracts to their pals in big business, like Deloitte Touche, like Serco, for a track and trace system that was supposed to be world beaten, but that we are now having to send swabs to Germany and Italy because of the 185,000 backlog, because he gave it to a company that wasn't able to do the job, but they are donators to the Tory party. That's why they were given the contract. Let's be clear about this. There should be no wearing of vests at any of the testing sites for COVID that says NHS track and trace. It should say Serco track and trace. Absolute shambles. That's what it should say, not NHS. But despite our inability over this last 9 months to hold public rallies, to hold physical events, what has happened has been an earthquake within the independence movement. We now have not one, not two, not three, seven individual consecutive polls that show clearly Between 51 and 56% of the population of Scotland say loud and clear, it's time to go! It's time to leave the British decaying union! And that's why, on behalf of Hope Over Fear and all of the grassroots independence movement, I would say loud and clear, as Peter Bell emphasised earlier, it is madness, madness to keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result. I think it was Einstein that first said that so eloquently. We cannot allow ourselves to have a referendum bill in the Scottish Parliament in the next few weeks that in any way, shape or form gives an indication that we are seeking permission to hold IndyRef 2. What we need in the Parliament is a bill that states categorically in the May elections of next year, let's call them what they are. They are the independence election. That's what our election is. And the majority elected from that Parliament to support independence, that's the permission for IndyRef 2, not Westminster. The permission is a majority of that Parliament supporting independence. That is the green light for IndyRef 2 no later than September of 2021. That would give us the 7 years, brothers and sisters. And in that referendum, let's be clear about it, we will gather together the forces of Scotland who believe in a new and a better and a fairer Scotland. A Scotland that wants to wage war on poverty and inequality, not on people thousands of miles away in other countries. A Scotland that wants to spend billions of pounds building new homes, better hospitals, better schools and education, not spend billions on weapons of mass destruction down in the Clyde. We in the independence movement represent the progressive wing of politics. We know who represents the regressive and reactionary wing of politics. We know who's looking backward instead of looking forward. Next September, brothers and sisters, we're going to have the opportunity to announce to the world there is a new country on the horizon. It's called Scotland. And it's here to build peace and human solidarity and cooperation, not to point weapons or to pick fights. And we're not going to build a new wall. We're going to knock down existing walls. And we're going to say to people across the planet, if you want to come and live and work in our new Scotland, here's the hand of friendship. You're welcome in our new Scotland. Brothers and sisters, that's the prize. Let's next year claim that prize of Scotland's freedom, of Scotland's independence. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much, Tommy. I just wanted to say cheerio, 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 cheerio. all the nutters over there, of course. And thanks to the police, of course, for doing a very good job. I'd just like to introduce John Brown now. He's a Clydeside stop steward, and he's going to tell you all like it is, of course. There you go, John.
Right, gang, the reason I have to say I'm a Clydeside shop steward is because I'm not allowed to mention who my company is, because it's against the code of conduct. Right, so, something strange happened last week. A little bit of infighting in the Labour Party. Nothing new here, you're saying. What was strange about that? Well, it was the GMB, my trade union. My trade union last week threw Richard Leonard to the wolves. Richard Leonard, who was 20 years a political apparatchik for them, was thrown to the wolves. And the excuse the General Secretary of Scotland gave, and this is important, is because 50% of the trade union membership now vote SNP. Now, people have said that nothing's changed in 6 years. If you don't think that's a change, you've not been keeping up with events, brother. Right, now, what's important for a reason? And the reason is manifold. Working class people in trade unions make up the single biggest voluntary organisations in this country. They also potentially have both political and economic support and power. We need to organise these people. We've been slagging off, quite rightly, Nicola Sturgeon throughout most of our speeches. What we don't have is a lever, a movement with a lever to make her move. These people are that lever. We should be organising the trade unions. We should be organising a political front. Not necessarily at this moment a political party, but a political front from the left of her. We will move her. The reason why I say this is because next year there's an anniversary. It's the anniversary of the beginning of two states, Era and Ulster. Disasters for the working class, the way these ended up. The promise of the Irish Revolution destroyed by Eamon de Valera, who said in 1921, when that state was formed, Era, Labour must wait. The Irish working class have been waiting for 100 years. We, the Scottish working class, will 10 months. I'm a heavy duty, heavy industry guy. The average age of death of the guys I represent is 71 to 75. That's some level of retirement you're going to get. We are working ourselves into the grave to keep the middle classes in a pension. I'm not prepared to put up with that. Nor am I prepared to allow the middle classes to carve up the new Scottish state to suit themselves the way they do the present situation. When it comes
just going to introduce you to the silent clansman who's got a little poem for us just to lighten the mood. Here we go. This is the silent clansman.
Thank you so much. Well, I'm actually pretty pissed off. I was going to say something nice about them over there. The fact that they came along here tonight to support us. How nice was that? And of course, they were singing that traditional British song that they love so much. Britannia waves the rules. So sorry, Mikey. Basically, you know, when I got asked at Bannockburn by Neil to come up and say a few words, it was quite difficult to do it. Today, standing here, all I have to do is look around at everybody here. There's a chap over there. He's supporting Welsh independence. Thank you, sir. Up the back there, plenty of Boris. There's a ball bag t-shirt. Right down the front here, the Bias Broadcasting Corporation. Who needs you? Let's switch it off. No racists. Trident Tories. Absolutely. There's my pal right in the back there in that wheelchair. A brave patriot, Chris. Waving his flag. Thank you, pal. Right over there, I see a man with his beret on. Obviously an ex-vet like me. thank you for coming out. Tommy there with his rainbow t-shirt telling you it's people, not Trident. And he's absolutely right, because people power is Scotland, and Scotland is people power. What I'm going to do now is just a couple of thank yous. As you know, we didn't get to march much this year, but we have had these three static organised events by the All Under One banner. So I'd like to thank Andrew, and especially Neil, Bruno, and all the boys and girls that put this together. You have behaved impeccably. Last week on Leslie Ruddock's podcast, she talked about the fact that we, as the ALUB or whoever's organising these events, don't get much coverage. And the reason we don't get much coverage is because we're good and we're well behaved. If you're good and well behaved, you don't get nothing. But if we cause bother, you best be sure that we'll be in the papers the next morning. And that's why when I turned up tonight and I seen all these yellow vests here, I thought, that's a bit heavy-handed for us, because the police and the police liaison people have been absolutely fantastic throughout our journey here, and they deserve a round of applause as well. But it turns out they're not here for us. They're here for them. Right. So they're gone now. Thank you very much, and cheerio. So thank you, everybody, especially the liaison officers. They've been fantastic. I'd like to just, finally, I have to put my glasses on because I'm getting old for this, sorry. As you all know, Facebook's a great thing, and every now and again up on Facebook comes great memes and great sayings. This popped up on my site this week, and I'd like to read it to you. It's a wee poem, it's only 3 bits long. It's by a chap called Robert Bendoris. So Robert, if you're listening to this, I hope I do it justice. And whilst I'm doing this, I'd like you all to please raise your Saltire flags and all your other flags, because this is what it's all about, folks. It's called One of the Three. The words that I use can display and reveal reflections and feelings I'll never conceal, especially concerning the pride that I keep of where I was born, that's endlessly deep. Like the satisfied feeling I get when I see a Saltire that flutters on a pole flying free. A freedom our nation would also have known if pride in our nation had proudly been shown. Our freedom awaiting our proudest display when no other nation will get in our way. And will reveal clearly what's plain to see, that Scotland's now proud to be one of the three. Thank you. By the way, if anybody thinks that's some sort of white surprise, it's not, it's a Saltire.
Right, thanks very much, Silent Clansman. We've got two more speakers. The next speaker is Andrew Bentley Steed, and he's from ISP, the Independence for Scotland movement. A party, I should say.
Hello. I feel like I'm following Led Zeppelin and The Who onto stage. I couldn't be here today to speak about the Independence of Scotland party. I know there's lots of people on social media been asking who we are, what we're doing. We never see any of these guys. Well, today you've got me. I'm a guy who until just a few months ago had never been active in politics. In fact, this is my first All Under One Banner event. I guess I was asked to speak today because my story is no different to anyone else's. I'm sure most of us here remember the heartache we felt on that morning of the 19th of September 2014. I remember that time as a big black hole full of despair, grief, and rage, an opportunity missed. It would be so easy to blame others. Many lies were told and all of them believable if you're a good person. Race to trust in the institution of this country, such as the BBC. Worse were the promises made that we knew to be lies. As supporters of independence, we were right to distrust them. Having been told that we could only stay part of Europe if we stayed with the UK, we're now out, and we're now just 3 months away from a very worst case scenario. But in 2015, we gave the SNP the strong mandate which was asked of us. We were told that if there was a change in our material circumstances, we would have another referendum. In just 12 weeks' time, our Parliament will have all her powers ripped away by a Conservative Party that Scotland hasn't supported in decades. And if you wondered about the accent, I've lived down there in Windsor, and these guys are fucking awful. The Scottish Government has had nearly 5 years to get the legislation in order. That lack of action is why we need the ISP. For too long, the focus is on stopping Brexit, when we should have been fighting day in and day out for Scotland's independence. The undecided voters are more decided by the day, but perhaps not enough. Still, they believe that numbers speak against our case, and indeed they do. There's just not enough pro-independence MSPs in Holyrood. How many times do you have to see our First Minister elected by us have a request for a Section 30 order rejected before we finally seek another route to freedom? There will never be a Section 30 order from Westminster while they think they're going to lose it. And there'll never be a second referendum for as long as we're told that we need permission to have one. And we must never accept that. Scotland is a nation. Scotland is a nation older than England. We do not need the permission of Westminster or Boris Johnson. It's not the place of an increasingly hostile, law-breaking maladministration to decide how we are governed. In Scotland, the people are sovereign. Though the Scottish Government may have chosen to not celebrate the fact the Declaration of Arbroath is 700 years old, older even than the Parliament of Westminster, and we don't need claims of right to reaffirm what we already know to be true. With patience, we debate those same questions which remain from before about the shape Scotland might take after independence. And the questions matter. Currency, employment, land reform, oil, education, everything. But we all know that the answer to these questions come from one question. When will Scotland be independent? Monday night's vote on the internal market bill served as a final warning, and we must push for the exit sooner rather than later. If there's been no referendum offered and the elections go ahead as planned next year, we can do this by securing a two-thirds majority in our Parliament, enabling us to call our own election on our own terms, in which there will be just one question to be answered. Scotland, are you ready to say yes? Sorry, I'm completely new to this. That's why I'm reading from a script. In 2016, I did as asked, and I made both votes SNP, and they won over 120,000 votes in mid-Scotland, for which the reward was no list MSPs at all. The Tories, with fewer than 80,000 votes, got four list seats. The numbers speak for themselves, and every argument against the strategy is just petulant whining of lobby interests that are against the working people of this country. As a newfound friend online put it so gracefully when I was talking to her last week, push or get off the pot. Your voting ISP in the list means that we're going to work all the days after election towards that vote and the day Scotland gets its independence. We're not, as is obvious from my presentation here, we're not professional politicians. We're not enjoying the lobby money, the booze, the friendships and the so-called working groups where decisions about our lives are made away from public scrutiny. But that's precisely the point. The ISP is a party led by members just like you and me. And if we have been quiet in social media, it's because we're trying to figure out laws that deliberately obscured stop us taking part. Our future lies as it always has, and it's in our own hands. But I'd like to finish with a personal story. On the morning of the 19th of September 2014, I was in a hotel in Hong Kong, and I was watching news networks from around the world cover the riots in the streets there. What the BBC did not show was that those kids, waving umbrellas and slogans in the face of police baton rounds, tear gas and arbitrary detention, were waving our flag, the Saltire, and they're using it as a symbol of resistance to tyranny and the dream of freedom. Those kids were disappointed by the result in 2014 as us Scots. They were gutted. I could see then, as I was riding around on the MRT, as I know surely now as I'm looking at your faces, that winning our independence will be a touchstone not just to people who are desperate for change here, but to other people around the world who are struggling as much as us. Our future and all our children's futures depends on our courage and your trust. So when you come to vote, if we do get a vote, vote SNP 1, ISP 2, because those numbers bring change. Thank you for listening.
Just going to introduce Alex Poland. Alex wrote into the BBC about Sturgeon being put off the daily COVID notices. He's going to read out his wee letter, and I'm going to read out a couple of wee things that they've said, and he's going to counteract it a bit, okay? Just bear with us, we've never done this before either, so.
I should start off with unaccustomed as I am, because I'm very unaccustomed. Anyway, on Friday night, I wrote a complaint to the BBC, and it's a rigmarole to get a complaint through. So the complaint I wrote was biased against Scotland. A few stops showing First Minister Nicola Sturgeon's daily coronavirus, Scotland will stop paying your TV licence. And I said, you move. So they told me I will tear within 5 to 10 working days. The next day I get a response, which is Saturday. Then I get full reply on Sunday. So that kind of shocked me. And I'm just going to go through some of the things that they mentioned, Lynn.
One of them is the BBC News channel will continue to broadcast parts of the briefings live based on news value.
Who's going to decide if it's news value? And if we don't see it, how do we know it's no news value?
The next bit was, however, we won't necessarily cover every single briefing live on TV. Rather, we will cover them based on their news value. Same thing.
Again, news value. And it just so happens on Tuesday, if you see that, Nicola talked about scams that are going on the phone. And she's probably saved a lot of people from getting scammed. Would they assure it?
One of the further points was they said they're going to send their cameras daily and broadcast the main points from the briefings on our programmes that follow.
Main points? How do we know what's been said if we're not sure of the whole thing? Now, I know some of you don't support Nicola, but she has worked well during this. She really has.
Yeah, I agree. And there's a tiny bit at the end here that says, we emphasise that we will keep these arrangements under review. And me and Alex just wanted to say, I think all of us need to badger them and go, right, what about this review then? When's she coming back?
Exactly, yeah. And I don't know if you know, but the website went down at the weekend. Seemingly it was with people cancelling their licence fees. My wife spent the whole weekend trying to cancel it. Couldn't it? So she just phoned the bank and says, cancel it. Cancel direct debit. And that's what we should all do.
Yeah, happened where it hurts.
Can I just point out, there's been people up there since we came here. What do they work at? Oh, sorry.
What about Wendy's? I was going to say something really un-PC there and I won't bother.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Alex. Neil Mackay is just going to finish it off with a few words and thank everybody for coming. Cheers.
Okay, hello. Hello, everyone. It's brilliant. This is absolutely brilliant. It might be small. I think there's about 300 people that were here today. 300 people. So well done. 302. 303, including you. But on the 23rd of June, we announced that we would do one of these static rallies every month until we can march again. So we announced the first three. Some of you, I'm sure some of you were at all of them. The first one was the 20th of July at the Holyrood Parliament, which was a great success. And then at Bannockburn Field on the 19th of August. And this is the third one of the three that we announced. So I'm going to announce the next three just now. The next one is going to be at Dundee on the 31st of October. Everybody is welcome. Please register. The form will be going live on Saturday for all three of them. So the first one's at Dundee on the 31st of October. Then on the 30th of November, we're going to have a static rally at Coldstream on the Scotland-England border where the Tory council said to remove the salt tyres, and the Yes Bikers recently did a great drive-through. We were going to organise a drive-through, but there's nothing quite like standing boots on the ground, and that's what we're going to do. And we want loads of salt tyres, obviously, St Andrew's Day, and we'll show them our flag. Now, the third event is going to be on the 21st of December, back outside the Scottish Parliament, and that's a Monday. So 31st of October at Dundee, 30th of November at Coldstream, and the 21st of December back at the Parliament, and everybody's welcome. Please register when the form goes live on Saturday. And the only other thing really to announce is some of you may well have noticed that today we launched the event page on Facebook and on Twitter. We put the information up to of our next assembly. Now, the first one we held was in February, and that was a great success. There was about maybe 70 people in a venue, and we discussed strategy and tactics and how we were going to escalate things and how we were going to intensify this, because we've got to have this and we've got to have it soon. It's all or nothing, as we know, so this is exactly what we're aiming to do. And on the 14th of November is the next assembly, and it's going to be in Glasgow. Now, at the moment, the restrictions, 6 people gathering indoors, etc. We can't do it under these restrictions with a venue. We'll wait and see what happens, but the point is, it's going ahead anyway. It'll be online. If it can't have a physical venue, it will be online, and we'll have a mass Zoom assembly with everybody welcome. So as individual activists, or if you're in a Yes group or a campaign organisation, a political party, any connection towards your group, or you as an individual wanting independence, you're most welcome to come along or to join the assembly online and take part. And let's strategise. Let's figure out exactly how we're going to pile on the pressure. We need to defy Westminster, and we need to put the pressure on the Scottish Government. We need to do two things at the same time. And that's the task ahead of us, but I'm sure that we can do it. Absolutely. So just a big thank you to everybody for coming along outside the headquarters of this propaganda machine for an occupying colonial power, the British state. And this is their mouthpiece, as we know. It's not their only one. The mainstream media is, the BBC doesn't have a monopoly on the garbage that supports the British state, but it certainly is their main one. So I urge everybody, everybody here has probably already cancelled your licence. I would imagine if you've not, you need to take a good look at yourself. But everybody listen to this and beyond live stream, please cancel your TV licence. 2 fingers up to them. We're having our independence. All the way. Thank you.
Some music. Who's the guy with the music?
And then like.